This is my granddaughter. She's my fourth oldest granddaughter, or sixth youngest. I have all granddaughters, and we love them all. And as Andrew mentioned, what Charlotte's going to do this morning is she's going to obey the Lord. She's already believed in the Lord Jesus as her Savior, and now she wants to obey Him. I was thinking of how in the book of Acts, we have one of the clearest examples of a baptism that took place in a desert. And there was a man from Ethiopia, and he had been to Jerusalem, and he bought the scriptures, a copy of Isaiah, and he was reading it, riding along in his chariot. And he didn't understand really what he was reading, and he wanted somebody to explain it to him. And so there was a miracle took place. There was an evangelist, Philip, and he was able to catch up to the chariot by foot. Now, either he's the fastest man in the world at that time, or else it was a miracle and the Spirit of God gave him extra strength, and he was able to catch up. And so it says that he took the scriptures that the man from Ethiopia was reading, and it says he preached unto him Jesus. You see, that's the important one. Is the Lord Jesus. And so then there was at the end another miracle took place, because when Philip had baptized the man from Ethiopia, all of a sudden he was caught away. And it was a miracle. He was caught away from there and very quickly taken to another part, to another place. But there were three miracles, because the greatest miracle of all that occurred in the desert that day was when the man from Ethiopia, hearing about Jesus, trusted him as his Savior. Because then that man from Ethiopia went from being unforgiven to being forgiven. He went from darkness into light when he accepted Christ as Savior. And so when he was buried, he was a believer in baptism. He was a believer, and that's what we're going to experience here this morning, is believer's baptism. It's only for believers. If you're not a believer and you come up here to be baptized, you will get wet. The water's warm, but that's all it will do. You must be a believer for this baptism to be of value. Now, with Charlotte... And now I get to the tougher part. But we asked her a couple of questions, and she's quiet like her grandpa, or papa, she calls me. Abby calls me grandpa, so I get mixed up, I'm her papa. And so we asked her some questions, and she's quiet a bit like me, so she wants me to do the talking. And so she wrote out her answers here, and we asked her the question, Charlotte, why do you want to be baptized? And she said, I want to be baptized to show other people that I believe in Jesus, and I want to go one more step in my relationship with Him. Jesus tells us that we should be baptized. I know that baptism won't get me to heaven, and that if I want to be in heaven one day, I have to believe in Jesus and trust Him to be my Savior and take my sins away. I have trusted Jesus to be my Savior. Then we asked her if there was some verses that are her favorite verses, and she actually has two. And her first favorite verse is John 3:16, and I believe that that's likely a favorite of many, because God has used that particular verse to bring many people to Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then her second favorite verse is Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. And she writes here that this is her favorite verse because God is telling us to be strong and courageous. We don't need to be scared because He is with us wherever we are. And if Those that know Charlotte knows that she hasn't always had it easy. You can see from this little device in her arm that she suffers from diabetes, and there has been times in her life when she needed to be strong. She needed to be courageous, and the Lord gave her strength and her family strength as well. And so I can see why this would be one of Charlotte's favorite verses. Anyway, sweetie, the time has come. She's been asking for this for a long time. So if you just turn around, and we'll take you this way. Okay, just put your hands like that. Now, Charlotte, I have a question that you have to answer. Even though you said it on paper, Charlotte, have you accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior to take away your sins?
Yes.
Then, Charlotte, my dear, it's on the profession of your faith, your mouth, that I now take it as a great honor to be able to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Heard a story from Acts chapter 8, which is just it's a great story of faith and obedience to baptism. Acts chapter 10, there was a family and a man that led his family named Cornelius, and the apostle Peter had special revelation from heaven to include the Gentiles in the preaching of the gospel, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that he reached beyond the barriers of what was the Jewish faith, but to all the ends of the earth. And in Acts chapter 10, Peter was speaking and he was preaching Jesus Christ. And then he said, while Peter was still speaking, this is in verse 44, listen carefully, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. That's us, non-Jewish people. And they heard them speaking in tongues and magnifying God. And this is what Peter said. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they stayed a few days. This morning, we're going to make the declaration as Peter. We're not going to forbid water for anyone that's trusted Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. The Holy Spirit has done the work in your heart. We're not asking you to speak in tongues this morning. We're asking you to recognize that the Holy Spirit is indwelling you as children of God. And as that child, the next step is of baptism and obedience. We're just going to take a couple minutes, just leave this open. If there's anyone here, the Holy Spirit has been dealing with you and nudging, and you haven't been baptized, and you know you should be. You're a child of God, and you want to make this declaration. We're giving you opportunity right now. We have water, and we're not going to forbid it. We're going to be like the Ethiopian eunuch. We're going to say, here's water. What hinders you to be baptized? We're going to just take a few minutes. And if anybody would like to come forward, we'd like to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I know it's hard to get up in front of a lot of people. If this isn't the opportunity and you'd like to speak to us at another time, we're available to speak with you, and we want to encourage you in your faith. That's the end result, is that we want to encourage you in your faith. So we're going to carry on in saying, I've decided to follow Jesus, the rest of it, and we'll be here for a few more minutes, and then at the end of the song, If you haven't come forward, then Team Challenge is going to come up and do their program. Thank you very much.
The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back.
Bethel. It's our privilege to be here today, to join with you in worship, and what an experience to witness a grandfather baptizing his granddaughter. And what a wonderful time, and like, thank you for having us here today. Isn't it wonderful that we live in a country where we can proudly proclaim our faith in Jesus Christ? We take it for granted. So many places around the world do not have that privilege. Anyway, it's wonderful to be here. My name is Chuck McDougall. I'm the director of Teen Challenge North up on Great Northern Road. I have had the pleasure to get to know several of you over the last almost 4 years that I've been here now. And I want to say officially to Bethel Bible Chapel, thank you. Thank you. You mean so much to the ministry of Teen Challenge, to the staff and the students. You have invited us in. We come to evening services. We come to celebrate recovery. I have fellowshipped and communed with a number of you at the ministerial. I've got to know several of you on a personal basis. Thank you. The other thing that I want to express to you today is that you actually are staff members of Teen Challenge. Maybe you didn't think of it that way. But the truth of the matter is you are a vital, vital part of our ministry team, because we cannot provide the care that we do without people like you. So God bless you. God bless Bethel Bible Chapel. Thank you for all your support, your love, and your care. Today's presentation is going to be a little bit different than what we've had in the past, and this is about as much speaking as I'm going to do today. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I'm going to hand it over to our students today. I have two students with me. Just stand as I mention your name. I have John, and John's going to come up in just a couple minutes. And a little bit later on, Zach is going to come and share. Now, I want you to know that we have 5 students at the center right now and 1 intern. So there are 6 men living at the center. And if you have been around Teen Challenge for any length of time, you know that our student population rises and falls. And sometimes it gets down low. As a matter of fact, about a month and a half ago, Zach was our only student for about a week and a half. And then John came. And then some more came. See, even though we dip down low sometimes, the line never ends. We have a crisis going on in Sault Ste. Marie right now. And it's not just Sault Ste. Marie. It's right across the province, right across the country, right around the world. And it's scary. And a lot of you have read stories in the newspapers or seen things on TV you know, it's just, it's evil what's going on. And I just want to make note of a passage of scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5 that really explains what's happening. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Well, he uses all sorts of means and methods, but one of the most effective things that he's using right now is this whole issue of substance abuse. My wife is a nurse at the Sioux Area Hospital, and I'm sure that Ruth could bear witness to this. We have had several spikes in the last couple of years with overdoses in the ER. One of the last major ones was right around Christmas time. There was a dozen overdoses and four fatalities that we experienced here in the Sioux. And maybe some of you are very close to those circumstances. But Jesus had something to say about our enemy. And I'm just going to flip over and share what he had to say. John chapter 10, verse 10. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Another version says, "I have come that they may have life and life more abundantly." Jesus is the source of abundant life. I'm going to invite John to come now and share what the Lord has been doing in his heart and his life.
Hello. Hi, guys. Wait. I have to get comfortable, sorry.
Hello.
Here we go. Okay. Hello, my name is John, and I'm 24 years old. And actually, before I want to say my testimony, if I can pray, if anyone, everyone could just pray. And I want to say a quick prayer, though. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you that you've brought us here today. And I ask that you use my words and my heart and my mind to first of all, glorify you and to help anybody today, that you may use me to help somebody who out there who may need it today, and bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, first off, telling you guys, my hometown is Hamilton, Ontario. And growing up, both my parents were together. I have two older sisters, and you know, we had a good lifestyle, you could say, good lifestyle. And I can't really tell you guys when this problem started, because I started at a really young age. Like, I started drinking when I was like in grade 6. And I'm not talking about drinking a couple beers. I'm talking about drinking a bottle of rum. You know, like, I remember this one time I was playing soccer and I scored on my own team because I was so drunk, you know? And it sounds funny at the time, right? But now that I think about it, it's not really that funny. Like, it was kind of bad, but yeah, and then I started smoking cigarettes. Like grade 8, and started smoking weed, and then it became more and more, right? But I didn't realize why. I was just young, didn't know much, didn't know the Lord, first of all, and my parents didn't know the Lord. We were Roman Catholic, so we just believed in God, but the Holy Spirit wasn't there, or the love of God wasn't there either, right? Then even in school was terrible. I didn't like school, like going to school. My school was like down literally like 2 minutes away, and I was always late, last person in class. But then high school came, and the thing with me, and I guess other young people, but with me, I didn't really have an identity either, right? Like my own self identity. And that caused me to try and find my identities elsewhere, you know, like try and be like this person or like that person or like this person or like that person. It never worked out. And then it became really bad, man. I was just like, no one was there to help me, guide me, you know? And I was in high school. I got expelled from high school in like grade 12, like the middle of grade 12. The same day I got expelled from high school, they called my mom and they're like, yeah, my mom comes into the office and she didn't even want me back home. So I got expelled from school and kicked out of my house, which it's okay, it taught me a couple lessons, but ended up moving in with some buddies. And in that process, there was no authority, right? I started committing crimes, stealing, and in many different ways, right? Like trying to get food, money for the drugs, money for partying. All I wanted to do was have fun. And at this time, in this moment in my life, all I wanted to do was have fun. And kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, to the point where not only was my habits becoming worse, but my own sanity and my own like person was becoming destroyed. And by that I mean my heart was becoming really cold, and started a lot of shame, a lot of guilt, and it sucked because I kept going to the same stuff all the time, going to the cocaine, going to the alcohol, going to the you name it, doesn't matter what kind of drugs, just going to the same nonsense. And got to the point where, I don't know, I'm like 18, 19 at this time. And like, I wanted to end this stuff. Like, I wanted to end the pain and all that, but I didn't know how. So one idea was to kill myself, which obviously is stupid, because I didn't have the courage to do so. So, at this point, I didn't know where to turn to. I couldn't turn to my own family because they didn't know how to help me. Couldn't turn to my friends because they're not going to help me. I'm just going to start having more fun. But not, you know, like, I didn't know where to turn to, man, to be honest. And I told my mom one day, I'm like, Mom, I need help, man. Like, I need help. And by the way, this is, I'm doing a 6-month refresher right now. So I already completed the program. So, thank you. And just to throw it out there, right, just, you know, and they even gave me 3 extra months, actually, because God just wanted to discipline me a little bit more. But then I became an intern, and I'm telling you guys this is my first time telling my testimony since a long time, but I want to show you guys the beginning, the cause of what that happened, but then after, too, because I'm back now again, right, so you guys may be like, well, what's going on, you know? But so at this time, one of my cousins went to Teen Challenge, and he's like, yeah, man, you should try it out and stuff. And I didn't really believe in God or anything, so I was like, what's this guy talking about, you know? And I don't know, it got to the point where I wanted change. I wanted to feel like me again, feel loved, you know, and be able to love and, I don't know, just feel normal. So I decided to go, and frick, it was crazy. 15 months as a student. But I completed. I gave my life to the Lord around like 3-4 months, and all this stuff was happening. The Lord was showing himself. I was getting, like, my heart was getting mended. Like, God was just amazing, you know? Like, I can't even explain it, but he mended all these relationships, everything. He gave me the strength, the courage, and the boldness. But the thing is, what happens is I got to that point because of his grace, because of him, you know. And sometimes, you know, I've been to such a worse place where you feel disgusted of yourself. But then he brings you and he lifts you up, and you can't get tricked by the devil, right? Like, it was not me who did this; it was him. And through through Jesus Christ himself, right? Like, the relationship. But when I graduated, became an intern, I went back home. That's when I got my eyes off the Lord, because I thought everything was okay. You know, I thought, yes, I'm back at it again. You know, I don't know. But it got worse now. Now I'm Now I'm abusing drugs like crazy. I'm in, I don't know how to say this in a proper manner. I'm sexually active, and I'm going to raves every weekend, and you start realizing, man, like, I'm becoming the same old person I was before. And where to go with this? 5 years pass by, and at this point, while I'm doing all this, I know there's a wonderful God, an amazing God, and I gave up, I guess. I lost focus on him. My heart became of the world and not of him. And that's a big thing, because you can't let go of that no matter what, in the goods or bads. You got to keep looking at him no matter what, right? And I ended up living in Calgary for three months before coming to Teen Challenge. And I realized that there was a point, like, man, I got to get back to the Lord. But the thing is, the devil will trick you. You have a lot of shame and guilt and pain. And he doesn't want you to go back to that source, because he knows that source, Jesus Christ, will free you. And what it says, what's that one scripture? I'm not really good with scripture. But, like, he will free you indeed. Amen. He will free you indeed. And that's the thing, we can get tricked sometimes, but, and there's that one other scripture, there is no condemnation, right? Through Jesus Christ, right? So if we all believe in Jesus Christ, amen? Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen? Yeah, there we go. So if he says there is no condemnation through Jesus Christ, right? That means that all that hurt and pain and shame, that's all lies from the devil. Right? And that's the one thing, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with this, but I don't know. Once he enters in your heart, no matter what you have, no matter what lies, shame, guilt, when you're ready to go back to that source, he's always welcome in opening arms. There's never a time where his grace will not be sufficient. There's never a time where, you know, like, I'm not the only one. There's hundreds of people out there who have problems with drugs and addictions, and that's just the surface. That's just the surface of it, man. You're going into the heart now, you know, like, real deep. And he wants that. He wants that. And Teen Challenge coming back has been a blessing. Thank you, Chuck. It's been a blessing, because you can't. There's, when God says, "Give me your all," he means your all. He doesn't mean, you know, give me your, I don't know, give me your habits, or no, he means give me your all. And Teen Challenge is a place where it allows men like myself to be able to not focus on the world, but to be in a safe place, because we don't come from safe places. I don't know about you guys, but the place where I come from, you guys don't want to be in there, man. You guys don't want to be. We come from dark places, and the way I see it is, it's the devil. It's the devil's playground. Outside, I don't know about you guys, but when I look in the streets, it's not a pretty picture for me. Like, the devil's working just as hard as, you know, he doesn't sleep. He doesn't. What did you guys say earlier? He comes to cheat, kill, and destroy, right? And I don't know. And God, only through God we can fight this. But coming back to this, Teen Challenge has been amazing. I'm in my 6 month refresher, and now being here, I realize that God's not in a box. You can't put God in a box, you know? And that's where I went wrong. I put God in a box, and he's bigger than that. And even one word of God blows my mind. Like, just one action he shows me blows my mind. So if I could be of any encouragement today, man, like, grace is always sufficient for us. Always, and God is great, and that's it. That's all I have to say.
Good morning. My name's Zach. I am 27 years old, and I'm from St. John, New Brunswick. I had something prepared to say, but that kind of went out the window. It's no surprise to you guys that I'm recovering drug addict. And a lot of our stories are the same, so I'm going to focus more on what God is doing in my life since coming to Teen Challenge. I was telling Chuck this morning that I didn't really want to come. I've been having a really tough time, and I didn't feel like coming. But I guess that's what I'm learning. I'm learning not to live by my feelings anymore, and I'm learning to follow through with commitments that I have to make. Recently, I guess 2 or 3 weeks ago, I put a couple ribs out, doing what I like to do, work out, and I'm very active, and I haven't been able to do any of that stuff, and I haven't been sleeping. I've been in a lot of pain. I'm the chainsaw guy. That's what we do for work detail. We cut wood. I love doing that. I do that in New Brunswick, but I haven't been able to do that. I've been cooking. I'm good at that, but I don't enjoy it. God is teaching me, even through that, to just, you know, follow through with my commitments, because if it wasn't for Chuck and Teen Challenge and Chuck talking to me this morning, if it was on my own, I probably wouldn't have came, would have made up an excuse. So that's pretty amazing. I was praying about it too. I was getting mad at him. I was saying, why are you doing this? You know, like I came here and, you know, I was miserable for a little bit. I was alone. I was the only guy, as Chuck mentioned. And that's one thing I've struggled with a lot of my life. My dad was an alcoholic and he's abusive and he was never home. And when he was home, he was very abusive physically and mentally and emotionally. And so I've always struggled with being alone. God put me in a place, actually, where I was alone. And then, you know, and now I'm in the kitchen. I'm all alone in the kitchen watching the guys work and watching them work out. I'm alone. But he's teaching me that I'm not alone, that he's with me, that he loves me. And this morning I was praying and I was getting mad at him. And I was saying, why is this happening? And he said, you're the one that came here. You're the one that wanted to get close to me. You're the one that prayed that prayer and said, God, you know, I can't do it anymore. I can't do it on my own. That prayer of surrender. I'm the one that prayed to him and asked him for help. And that's all he's doing is he's helping me. It's silly how I can get mad at God for him answering a prayer that I prayed so desperately. Also, relationships. My relationships were strained at home. It got to the point where my sister wasn't talking to me. A lot of my family wasn't talking to me. My sister wasn't. She said that it was easier for her to pretend I was dead because she knew it was going to happen, so it was easier for her to already pretend as if I was dead. You might be asking why I'm in Sault Ste. Marie, all the way from New Brunswick, and it's because I've gone through a lot of the programs in New Brunswick, and Sault Ste. Marie was the only place that I could go. I ended up in jail with robbery charges, and it was the only place left to go. So that's why I'm in Sault Ste. Marie, but I believe God has bigger plans, and I think there's a bigger plan why I'm here in Sault Ste. Marie, so I'm still waiting for that to be revealed. Another thing that he's doing, I was reading this morning, and I forget the psalm, I was trying to look it up, but it's David, and he was saying he put a new song in my heart. And I love to sing and play. And my mom always knew when I wasn't doing well because I'd stopped singing and playing my guitar and writing music. And that's one thing God has done for me while being at Teen Challenge, is he's putting a new song in my heart, and he's giving me music. And so I'm gonna sing a song for you guys to end it. It actually hurts to sing, so I'm gonna try and do my best, but I really enjoy it, so I believe God's going to give me the strength to get through it and the wind power to sing this song. this song I wrote, and it's called Miracle. Every time I've tried to be, something inside just won't let me. I want to be the one, but it's hard holding on the gun. And in this dust will you find me, cause this light is just so hard to see. So near on me, cause I need you to be. Hope for this lost and lonely soul. Make me a miracle. In the silence of another day, where I'm lost and I'm just not okay.
Thanks, Zach. Well, if there was ever any question, you know, as to how we prepare for these Sunday morning outreaches, it's obvious that, you know, we don't have a script. And so sometimes, you know, when I'm sitting there, it can be a little nerve-wracking to hear what's coming out of the guys' voices. But I want, and it should be obvious to you how proud I am of these two guys. And how proud your Heavenly Father is of you today. And of Charlotte as well. You know, I just want to conclude here. It's only going to take me about 3 more minutes. Since Teen Challenge opened in 2000, in the last 17 years, about just over 400 men have come through our doors. And not all of those men graduated. Some of them left the program early. And some of the ones who graduated are still struggling. This is a tough road to travel. And there are ups and downs. And sometimes there are stumbles and falls. But our God is a God of not only second chances, but third and fourth and fifth and sixth. His grace is sufficient for all of us. We all struggle with something. It may not be substance abuse, but it might be this morning. You might be sitting in the congregation and you're struggling, or a loved one is struggling. This is a large congregation. I know that there are more than a few where this is hitting very close to home. You know, but it's just like anything else. We have to give it all. Like John said, we have to give it all to the Lord. That's why our program is 12 months. 30, 60, and 90-day programs aren't long enough. It's 12 months, and it's all about Jesus all the time. You know, God loves us so much. Charlotte, the verses that you picked this morning are a couple of my favorites as well. You know, the Joshua verse, be strong and courageous. Yes, we need to be strong and courageous, and he helps us to be strong and courageous, but he also loves us unbelievably. Again, Jesus talked about how much he loved us. In Matthew, again, this is another favorite verse. I'm sure a lot of you love this as well. And I come back to this time and time again because it is so true and we need to hear it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, in the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, there probably are several of you today who are feeling poor in spirit. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. A place has been prepared for you. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I overheard some ladies talking about the passing of a loved one just as they were coming into the sanctuary this morning. All of us are grieving something. We have grieved something. And when we're in that state of mourning, as our guys often are when they come into the program, he promises that he will comfort them. The Holy Spirit will come and comfort. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you love us so much. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Folks, sometimes when the guys come, they're 30 and 40 pounds lighter than they are now. Sometimes they've been beaten up by their drug dealers because they owe a drug debt, maybe to within an inch of their life. Sometimes they have just recovered from an attempted suicide. This is what our enemy is doing to our nation, to our young people, to all of us across the country, around the world. They will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Again, this is why it's a 12-month program. We need to spend all that time soaking up the word of God and seeking his righteousness. And then he fills us up. And he fills all those holes and voids in our life from the hurts, from the abuse, from the neglect, from the teasing, from the bullying, from the physical and sexual abuse that's happened. He fills every hole, every void, and he makes us whole again. That's what happens at Teen Challenge. You know, I'm going to leave with this last verse again, and this is just amazing to me. And I'm sure this is what's happening right now in the heavenlies with what's transpired here in this service, with the baptism, with the testimonies, with the worship that we enjoyed together. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. Whatever circumstance you're in, he is mighty to save you from it. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Imagine our Heavenly Father is singing over us today. He loves us so much. He loves you so much. As I mentioned before, you are part of our staff. Okay, I'll give you name tags later and I'll expect you to come up to the center. I'll just call you. No. There are opportunities for volunteers. I can tell you that. But we can't do this ministry without you. And I'm not embarrassed to come and ask for your help. We have a building that is, I don't know how old it is, because it's been built onto three times. But I do know this, it's too small. It's too small for our maximum capacity of 8 students. I can tell you that for sure. At 6 students or 5 students right now and one intern, it's tight. because those guys share one shower, one toilet, and one sink. We need to do something about the building. And we need help. My goal, my dream, my vision is this monthly sponsorship program. Many of you received a pamphlet when you came in today. And I've talked about it the last few times that I've been here. And you've probably heard about it for years. But I'm going to bring it up again because we need help. We have 350 monthly sponsors at about $40 a month right now. If we can raise that total across Northern Ontario, not just here in the Sioux, but right across the North, to about 800 monthly sponsors, we would totally care for our day-to-day expenses at Teen Challenge. And then the money that we raise at our events, like our golf tournament and our Freedom Ride, and through the direct mail and coming to outreaches and receiving offerings, all of that could go towards building us a brand new building, one that is going to be adequate for up to 12 students comfortably housed. That's my vision. Please pray about it and pray about how you can also be involved more with our ministry through sponsorship, through volunteerism. If you want, if you're feeling that nudge of the Holy Spirit, talk to me after the service or give me a call this week. I'd love to talk to you. God bless you. And again, thank you on behalf of the students and staff at Teen Challenge North. Ministry team, please come back. Thank you so much, folks.
Thank you, Chuck, and John and Zach. We thank you very much for coming this morning to share with us.